This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Here it is, Tuesday night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Oh, Johnny Lupinacci there, Evan in the studio. Everybody out there listening, welcome, welcome, welcome. Make sure you want to jump in and start talking to us. 844-967-2789. Right off the bat, haven't even put out the topic yet. However, want to start now. New with every show. Thank you to the Supreme Court for the legality. So if anybody would, you know, if you're out there and you could see this, either bow your heads, close your eyes. But I want to start the show with a prayer. Our pasta, who art in a colander, draining be your noodles. Thy noodle come, thy sauce be yum, on top of some grated Parmesan. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trample on our lawns. And lead us not into vegetarianism, but deliver us some pizza. For thine is the meatball, the noodle, and the sauce. Forever and ever, ramen. Oh, I feel better, Johnny, don't you?
Oh yeah, I mean, look, Tim, you know where I'm coming from. I'm gonna have an angle on this that's gonna be a hot take, but I appreciate anybody's prayers, especially prayers that involve my favorite foods in the world. So you're speaking both my languages tonight. You, whatever your faith is. And then on top of that, food, man, because everybody eats.
Hold on, though. Whatever your faith is. No. We're not talking about whatever faith. We are going the one, the true, the only faith, the flying spaghetti monster. That is the daily devotional to and from the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, whose participants, practicing, you know, devout, call themselves the Pastafarians. So the Pastafarians.
Preach.
Do a little preaching. You know, when it comes to the pasta, this is what we're talking about. I mean, you got to be able to lay it down, understand where the sauce is coming from, recognize that the noodle has its rights to be put down into the stomach, brought on through a tasty cheese, and then you deliver that to the people and you can feed the masses. This is what we're talking about in the Pastafarian. And, you know, Busted Pencils, people are like, Tim, this is education talk. I'm like, I know, but, you know, the Supreme Court of the United States has been so busy liberating people of faith from the downward spiraling atheistic public social communistic school systems. The idea now that we can use public monies to pay for religious schools because, darn it, it's the right of everybody. And now praying in a Friday night football game on the 50-yard line with coaches, protecting finally that coach's freedom of speech. So here we are.
What happens to the kid who doesn't pray?
Hey.
Nothing.
Hey,
that's a complicated part of this.
That's a comp. Where, you know, I'm trying to enjoy the liberation that as a practicing Pastafarian, who for the longest time has been hidden by that kind of iron curtain of atheism and communism that the public schools has insisted that I follow, now as an educator to be free to bring forth truth about the noodle and the Parmesan cheese and the pasta sauce, I'm just like, this is a day of celebration. So SCOTUS, thank you. Anybody else wants to celebrate the freedom of the flying spaghetti monster and those Pastafarians out there? 844-967-2789. It is a day to rejoice on Busted Pencils. Religious liberty in our public schools is back. And because of that, those of us Pastafarians are celebrating. Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, one, Tim, it's never gone away. Yeah. So we're kind of operating off of a premise here that there is and should be, and we can tease this apart, a separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. All right. Given that, remember, we have a Pledge of Allegiance that included into that a particular phrasing, a rewriting mm-hmm. of the Pledge of Allegiance to include God in there, and not really in a way that spoke to a diversity of mythopoetic narratives or faiths.
Wait, stop.
Hold on.
So no. You got it. You used a big word, and I'm not sure us Pastafarians, mythopoetic.
I'm not sure your Pastafarian beliefs are yet mythopoetic, but I'm entertaining it.
Okay.
I think it's like satirical of mythopoetic beliefs. And mythopoetic beliefs all human cultures have, right? And we look at it. We all have some understanding, whether it's atheism, agnostic, like the idea that we understand our existence through different stories. Mm. And I know that there are some folks I care deeply about who cringe at hearing that they're stories. There's nothing bad about them. But stories that help us to understand our purpose and our existence on this planet. Some of them are biological as well, right? We have a whole evolutionary theory, like scientific consensus around our existence that helps us understand our existence and who we are and how we behave and act towards one another on the planet. So that big word, mythopoetic narrative, is one I choose to insert when we start talking religions, because religion gets so polarized into, is it Christian or is it not? And if it is Christian, is it my kind of Christianity? And so we get into this really polarized hot debate. And that, Tim, as a teacher and as a public school educator and as having been a private school educator, has been sort of a central distraction to the core of how do we work together to learn together, to contribute to the kinds of communities that are embracing and allow for a coexistence of mythopoetic narratives without unnecessary conflicts or human rights sufferings.
Well, I got the answer. Go ahead. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I'm here. I want to hear about Pastafarianism, because I love you some pasta.
There you go.
Tell me about how it brings benefit for you and your participation in our community. And I'm so happy that you might be willing to share your pasta and your pasta beliefs with us at a football game, at a school function, you know? So I don't have to take your commitment to the Pastafarian as an attack on my or anyone else's in the community's mythopoetic belief system. And that's where I hold hope for our diverse communities is, man, why can't our schools be actually replications of our neighborhoods and our communities? Where I live next door to a Muslim family, and that's cool. They have their beliefs, I have mine, and together we share space, air, decisions about our community, and we disagree on some stuff. Mm-hmm. But in general, we get down on whatever it is that shares a healthy community space. And I think schools forever have kind of been this, and I do kind of poke at, you know, our government's involvement historically on forcing it one way over other diverse mythopoetic narratives, whether it's indigenous belief systems, you know, whether it's diverse world religions or different mythopoetic understandings of our cultures and our existences. I think those are important for us to embrace together in our community. Now, I know that some of my political adversaries disagree. They want it to be one religion and one religion only, and the rest are threats to that. And I worry about that, Tim.
Okay, you worry about that. I'm glad you're worried about that. I'm not really that worried about this. I'm more, again, I'm going to celebrate. You know, I got the pasta downstairs boiling in the water right now. A little bit later after the show, maybe even mid-break, I'll, you know, celebrate by putting the sauce, maybe even do it openly on, you know, Facebook Live so that people participate in the Pastafarianism. Because what I'm hoping is that by now having my ability to be able to speak openly, freely without being judged is that, you know, there's people out there who can hear the good news of the pasta, because right now there's a lot of what you're talking about, mythopoetic and all of this nonsense. I mean, you got a lot of people lost in, as you pointed out, mythologies, or as our friend, you know, Daniel Quinn and Ishmael talked about, creation myths.
That's
and
right.
See, you know, you're talking about myths, Johnny Lupinacci. I'm talking about the freedom now to talk truth. And now that I've been liberated to talk my truth, I'm not really interested in your poetic mythology nonsense. I want you to get on board. And I want the callers out there, 844-967-2789, you know, come in, give me some support, you Pastafarian flying spaghetti monster people out there, and talk about the reality is that now that we are free, we will now drop on you the truth. And when you don't understand the truth, then we've got a real problem coming up. 844-967-2789. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you're talking about kumbaya stuff, and even that bothers me, that word, because that has a connotation that that word's right. But this whole idea of coming togetherness, I see the SCOTUS as not liberating religious tolerance.
Well, here's the thing, Tim.
Okay.
Because we got a show about spaghetti on the week that SCOTUS made a clear statement on, like, the subjugation of our female identifying biologically, you know, brother, like, sisters and family members and friends. So the other assumption here is that we actually think the SCOTUS is a defender of any real democracy. Okay. So we're running on a lot of premises here that, one, you know, there's a separation of church and state, and two, that the SCOTUS is in place to support democracy, to support diversity and coexistence together in a free world. There is nothing free about the decisions that the SCOTUS is putting out into the world right now and kind of historically. And so, like, I'm saying the unpopular thing here is, like, based on the premise here, you know, I don't hold much hope for what the SCOTUS has to say about our democracy.
Well, I tell you what, though, talking about this, the freedom of religion, the separation of church and state. In fact, when we get back, we're going to talk about that separation of church and state, because that is such an enshrined thing. I love it. More Busted Pencils after the break. Can be a Pastafarian when it comes to Busted Pencils. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. The Supreme Court, Busted Pencils. We're having a little bit of fun with the flying spaghetti monster. The fact that I've now been liberated to speak openly about my Pastafarianism as a teacher in a public school. The reality, though, the Supreme Court has ruled all kinds of lots of, Johnny would say, maybe not democratically and not in the voice or the best interests of the people, which is a whole other show. But we're really talking about today, though, the impact potentially on schools and the ruling that an individual employed by a public school system does not, and I'm going to free this up at least the way I think the majority is trying to tell us how we should see this, is that you do not lose your free speech rights when you work for a public institution and or the state and or the government. And so denying this coach, who was fired, if people have been following this, in the state of Washington, a football coach was praying at the 50-yard line at the end of the games, was fired for doing this. The school district was worried that the school might be seen as promoting, lifting up and exalting a single Christian religion at the exclusion of others. The Supreme Court said that's not what this person was doing. This person was practicing their free speech rights. And here's the whole education show. What do we do, though, in schools? Because what an opportunity, Johnny Lupinacci, to teach now, because it's like, how did we get to this mess? Is, as Johnny was talking about, hey, man, look, I think it's kind of liberating the potential of lots of people talking openly about the ways they see their creation stories, the way they view their truths, the way they talk to each other. In fact, this might open the doors, and I'm not saying this is what Johnny said about this, but the idea of a diversity of discussion points. However, you know, we come back to this and going, yeah, but the separation of church and state, Johnny Lupinacci, how do you get away when we know that there is separation of church, that would be an organized religion, and state, of which the federal United States government and public government does not recognize any religion, because that's not the job of our government. Our government is, you know, outside of, distant from religion. In fact, a wall of separation should exist. Johnny, separation of church and state. Where do we find those words?
In the beloved Constitution, my friend. I don't think it's actually in there.
Ah, Johnny, I got you on it, right? You are right. It is not
law. Right. It's not law. It's like it's an expectation. It's an expected influence.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not law that there is a separation of church and state. Right. And I think this is important to interpretation of particular instances, because as much as I am a opponent of one religion being more dominant than any other or more correct or the right way, you'll never catch me in that. I am a defender of that separation of church and state might be interpreted as a problem or as impossible, but historically might be a guiding influence, an important cautionary thing to say. I mean, that the whole reason we have a country the way we do is based on religious freedoms from kings and queens and from the sort of Eurocentric monarchies of Europe, right? And so, come on, man. Like, I think I worry about too much policing of the separation of church and state and not enough dealing with the mess of, are we ready to accept there are different views on our religious beliefs, and they don't have to be in violent conflict with one another.
So this is not really an issue of free speech, First Amendment, the freedom of speech, and the fact that this coach was fired incorrectly for actually expressing the very First Amendment right that the Constitution gives.
I tried to do some research on this, Tim, because it's in my own state.
Yeah.
I think there's a muddy situation, and man, I hate being defender of the Supreme Court right now, because let me tell you right now, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that group. Okay. But as I dig into this case, and having been a school leader and having had to have conversations with coaches, especially around the line between our personal freedoms to engage in prayer and belief practices and stepping over that line to where there is punishment or perceived punishment if I don't agree or participate. And so I do actually kind of fall on the messiness of this on the side of the school district right now, in terms of I would assume that the coach was spoken to a number of times about, hey, you have every right to believe what you believe. You have every right to pray at the end of a game, but you cannot do so in a manner that presents itself as though the school shares that prayer. They respect your right to it, but shares that prayer. So it's not school sanctioned prayer. It's also not something that if your players don't do or don't agree with, that there's any penalty or perceived penalty from such non-participation. And right. this is a really good conversation that I've had with coaches. And there is a tradition, because it's a gray area, where as athletes, especially out on the field, we may want to engage in our beliefs of thanks to higher powers than us. Maybe for you, Tim, it's the spaghetti dinner.
Yeah, right? Man. Yeah.
But what I should know is that my right to do that is respected. But if I'm in a position of power, like a coach, my right to do that in a way in which it organizes so that some may be punished or perceived as being punished for not participating or not agreeing is a problem in any public setting. If you don't like it, go coach in a private school.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, there are plenty of Catholic leagues out there. I tell you, if he's a good coach, the Catholics will hire him into the football programs, no question asked. And you can pray together as a team at the 50-yard line. You can pray during a timeout, and nobody will have any problems with it. But in a public school, you have to look at that. Unless you're creating space and equality for all the students, and it's impossible to ensure. I'm gonna land on the school district side that, you know, this is a mistake ruling. But I actually like that the Supreme Court defers it. You know, they make a statement on it. But what's the Supreme Court have to say? That's a federal issue. This is a state thing.
Right. This is a state thing. Evan, does that mean 20 seconds? So we're up on this. We're coming up on the hard break. Busted Pencils back after
news at the half hour. Get some news. Come back.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band?
Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, it is Tim and Johnny. We are back after the break. 844-967-2789. I know you're out there, Pastafarians, and actually Pastafarians, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, agnostics. You all are free to call tonight, 844-967-2789, as Busted Pencil celebrates SCOTUS's ruling that, hey, you are free in this country to have the religion that you want and to speak freely about that religion. Got into this a little bit. The coach in the state of Washington was praying at the 50-yard line, was let go by the school, a public school, because the public school was, at least from what we can tell from the news, not offended by the coach, but was concerned about the fact that the school might be seen as promoting a religion. Johnny, we talked a little bit about this promoting of a religion. I'm going to come back to this and talk about it in the 80s when I used to play football, how this used to happen to me, and maybe this could put some context. But, you know, just again, for the clarification, the separation of church and state, we talked about that, Johnny. You may be like, hey, I'm not sure that's even in the Constitution. It is not. Okay, the metaphor, the wall of separation, has its historical roots and truths in a letter from Thomas Jefferson to a minority Christian faith in the New England colonies, assuring them that they did not need to worry about the dominant religious faith taking over, because the United States government created a wall of separation between any church and the government. Therefore, this government, the United States, would not be elevating any religion. Therefore, minority religion, you can relax because of the wall of separation. What the SCOTUS ruling today or 2 days ago was really about, at least according to the majority, was is that they were saying, you know, this coach claimed that he was fired because and his free speech rights were violated. The Supreme Court said they were. He had the right to pray at the 50-yard line because actually there is nothing in the Constitution that prohibits this coach from doing this. Johnny, you put in, though, the great kind of like, okay, however, and I'm going to put this in the context, 1983, Munhall, Homestead, Pennsylvania, the Afield Steel Valley High School number 39 number 18. I forget which number it was at that time. Little Tim Slecker playing football. And yeah, that was kind of a something to see. But every game, the Steel Valley Ironmen in the locker room at the A-field in Homestead, right before the game, Coach S. Stock would bring us down and on our hands and knees and lead us in a Lord's Prayer. Not the Pastafarian, but the Our Father. And we all jumped in and we said the Our Father with Coach S. Stock. And then we went out and played that game. And I look back now and go, hey, what would have happened to any of my, which we didn't have any non-Christian practicing students, but if there would have been any of us on the football team at that time and had one of them said, yeah, I'm going to step outside while you guys do this, would that student then particularly maybe face ramifications in the sport of football? Maybe the coach might not play them for not getting it, not jumping in. And so here's the issue of the school district. Okay, your right to have the freedom to pray to your religion is there. The school district in this case, and I disagree also with the court's ruling, this wasn't a free speech case. This was about the state possibly being seen as a power player in lifting a religion, and the fact that children, students, athletes themselves might feel compelled to join in. 844-967-2789. And as Johnny opened up the show, look, you got to understand, we're not coming at this as these, quote, devout Marxist, atheist, communist public school teachers. We're talking about this from the point of view of going, yeah, let's celebrate freedom of religion. Let's dig deep, man. Let's talk about what, you know, you want to talk about pasta, man, go for it. You want to talk about whatever, you know, in fact, the more I learn about pasta, the more I get to appreciate the richness of your cultural beliefs, your religious beliefs. You know, we get to share in this. However, you know, saying a Christian prayer on the 50-yard line as the head coach of an organized football team that is a result directly. And this is the other thing I want to point this out. You know, all you Friday night football people recognize Friday night football at the public school is a public school event. Okay. You do not have Friday night football without your public schools. You might have Friday night football, as you said, Catholics in the private school system, but in the public school system, Friday night football is an extension of school. Johnny.
And Tim, time out, because I think too that the gray area that isn't, I had to dig in a little bit, and I don't have I wasn't the first person in, and I don't know this coach's history. But once I dig into it a little bit, it's not that he prayed at the 50-yard line. Because all our listeners who participate in Friday Night Football know that there are a lot of different ways that people express gratitude for their safety and the well-being of both teams and the players in a dangerous sport at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And one of those is to offer solidarity and prayer. I, from what I understand about this particular case, is that the district had repeated concern around the coach's involvement in organizing that, like, group prayers, at which it was unclear whether or not, and you talked about this, unclear whether or not there would be perceived punishment. I give this guy a bit of the doubt. He might not even be like, if you don't participate in our prayer, then you're not going to play. I don't think that would be his intention. But as a young player, if the coaches are organizing activity, I may believe or feel that there is a perceived punishment, or I might be excluded punishment or not included in the team. And so if the school district felt there was an unfair balance around this and had talked to him about it and had offered support and opportunities to do differently, it's not about the prayer at the end of the game. It's every way about the lack of responsibility of a leader in a public school or in any system to creating space for all their players. And I think back, I mean, let's think about sports icons who champion this for us, Tim. You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar championed this in the public sphere around freedom to be of religious difference in a predominantly Judeo-Christian country and culture, right? And what that meant to go counter to the expected norms of not only sports, but of our schools and communities in this country. The expected norm in this country, no matter what the intentions of these influential documents are, even though they were forged in resistance to control of religious beliefs from a state, mm-hmm. they were predominantly of a similar religious root. And right. so Judeo-Christianity sort of remains core as this basis that makes it really difficult for any young person in our sports communities or in our schools to not feel punished or excluded if they believe differently and want to express that.
Well, I know someone who's going to believe differently. L.A. Tom.
Let's on the line.
L.A. Tom on the line. Tom, L.A. Tom, I know you're a Pastafarian, man. What's going on?
Tough, guys. We the people are the government, and we must never forget that. Ultimately, we are the government. And second, the Republicans are the pro-death party. let's not forget that.
We will not.
What I would say is that I know when we did a prayer, it was a prayer that was, please everyone stay healthy. Everybody, we don't want injuries. And everyone play to the best of their ability and give it 110%. That was the type of prayer that we gave. Or that
love
my dad, who was a coach for 40 years, gave. It wasn't about Jesus and this and that. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes was actually ruined, what it was that it was about. Also, just to add to this whole thing, if you look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it'll say, what does the Bible say about praying in public? Jesus taught, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So to me, this is blasphemy for these people that are evangelicals and
That's
have
right.
to go out there and throw it in people's faces. Especially on a football field. If you want to do it in the locker room, if that's something that is, okay with everyone. And basically, that's what you do. What are you looking to do? You're looking to be a showboat, trying to make everyone see, oh, wow, look at me. I mean, I've been taught, show them a Christian, show them you're a Christian by your acts and by your deeds, and then people will follow you. Show them that show it by your love is the actual other phrase. If you want That's to show right. That you're a Christian, show it by your love. And I'll tell you what, these people, they are all about showboating. They are all about, like I've told people out on the street corners here in LA and at gay pride and stuff like that, I've said to them, you know what? You are the Antichrist because you are pushing people away from wanting to actually go closer to Christ. You scare the hell out of everybody.
Tom, what a great point, the way you frame that and phrase that using the biblical reference to Matthew there and putting this out there, the fact of what was happening, the idea of intentionally at the end of the game going out to the 50-yard line to look. I mean, can we interpret that as sending a message that says, this isn't about me doing something in private and talking about and saying thank you to whoever it is I want to say thank you to. I'm going to compel all of you to watch. And isn't even then, according to what Tom just talked about, the compelling us all to watch someone pray in public, Johnny Lupinacci, is that even too much right there? I gotta hand it to L.A. Tom, man, hitting the biblical quotation, bringing the real quotes from the Bible that says, yo, don't be praying in public like that. That ain't cool. That's not what we're about. And here we are, coach at the 50-yard line, and this whole going, I'm going to pray outside, in out loud, in public.
Well, and L.A. Tom, he came in strong with a good example of what I think veteran coaches who create and cultivate and sustain really a team atmosphere that everyone is part of the team. And that's key. So it's really important. And you know, I couldn't agree with Tom more. I think the school district felt that this particular coach had taken a practice that is every player and coach has a right to in their own way, you know, express gratitude and share that. And some of the history of that 50-yard line stuff could be where we traditionally shook hands and met with players on the opponent's team to say, it's a game and I'm glad you made it through it safely and that you enjoyed the game too.
And we will come back after the break and we will celebrate a good game with you. Busted Pencils, fully leaded, back after the break.
Thank you, Tom.
We don't sleep very much. These triggers ache for the touch. Where's the strength we relied on?
I know where the strength is. It's always here on Tuesday nights. Busted Pencils, Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker. We are here, educated educators, talking education. Ah, man, coach fired for praying in the middle of the field. L.A. Tom quoting some Bible there, going like, yo, don't be praying in public. And here we are, Gene from Eau Claire. I'm sorry, I couldn't get that out. Gene, all right, you're calling because you want to join my Pastafarian group, right?
Yeah, I was listening. You guys do a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
I heard L.A. Tom and I thought, that's exactly the way I've been perceiving what's going on and, you know, in this show religion, or to me it's kind of fake religion, and it's like led by men. It's following the man. It's not following the scriptures. It's not praying in private. And it's not leadership of your actions versus slamming people. And it's so amazing to me because, you know, I feel so bad for children and parents. And you know, that's why a lot of little kids don't want to go to Sunday school. You know, when you have people like that forcing religion instead of, you know, teaching them and asking, you know, their feelings and having them grow as children and doing acts of kindness and things. So this is amazing. And I'm so proud of you guys for all the work that you do because, you know, there's a lot for education and the people, you know, that are running our country, unfortunately, in our state of Wisconsin too, are so anti-education. I really do believe that. And they're very harmful to education. But thank you so much for all the work you do bringing out the word.
Well, thank you, Gene. We always appreciate your call. And, you know, the idea too here is, you know, we are here to educate every Tuesday night, Tim and Johnny Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk, 844-967-2789. We've got, you know, a little bit of time if you want to give us a call. Jump in here praying out there. But, you know, let's the educational impact here of the coach publicly doing this. Now the Supreme Court has ruled, though, Johnny, and we're just going to touch this because this is a whole other show. Freedom of religion. Okay, my free speech then is not going to be interrupted. All right, now, so here I am, you know, back to the opening of the show, whether it be me and the Flying Spaghetti Monster as a Pastafarian, or somebody looking at the Prophet Muhammad as a Muslim. Look, if that dude's going to be allowed to pray at the 50-yard line, where is my equal time so that I can now practice my freedom of speech, my freedom of religion, because I want the public school to recognize my religion. Oh, what will happen in that case when Tim the Pastafarian says, I want equal time? Johnny, what do you think?
No equal time for you, Tim. I'm sorry. All right. This doesn't work that way. And one of the great things we'll come into is it is a whole nother show, but you know, as much as I want to say, I will be an advocate of valuing that you have a different opinion. You don't get equal time. You get to exist. Get to have space, get to do what you do. But we have this wonderful thing in our democracy, or ought to, in our communities where we, you know, place emphasis on scientific consensus. That's not only scientists, that's sort of expert consensus from diverse cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So we might bring it up. We're not going to be like, hey, that Pastafarian thing that Tim and his group believe in is not real. That's crazy. It's real. You believe in it. We're going to say, hey, it exists, but it's not going to get equal time in explaining our existence. And I think that's where you're going, is because we've had some debates in our schools around creationism, intelligent design, and evolution being given equal amounts of time, right? And this is absolutely a problem. It's like saying climate change is real, climate change is not real, equal times, let's learn. That's just not scientific consensus or healthy, right? So we don't give equivalency to the false narrative here. And that's, in that case, is you can have a differing viewpoint, but it doesn't mean it goes away or it's devalued or you're punished for it, but it doesn't get to take up a significant amount of space disproportionate to what we've agreed in consensus is important information for our community.
Absolutely, totally clarified on that and love it. I'm going to throw this in, though, too. Do we really, though, believe that now that this, you know, all-encompassing freedom has been granted, will I be allowed, if we're just talking about religion here very specifically, if I am a practicing Hindu playing for this guy's football team, will he step up and will he honor my religion with a prayer with my Hindu? And this is where we're talking about going, yeah, I don't think so. So this, you know, those of you who are talking about the fact that this is, you know, this is just simply enshrining and keeping the freedom of speech as our First Amendment protection, the Supreme Court stepped up. It's like, yo, freedom of whose speech? And this is what we're talking about in schools. Schools actually are, public schools are a function of the government. And guess what? They cannot elevate any religion. And in fact, that's the way we want it. We do not want any religion being elevated in this time and day. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Johnny Lupinacci, great show. Gene, L.A. Tom, thanks for the calls. More Busted Pencils next week. Join us.
Good one.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already. We are